From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul.
You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul.
On the street, you hear the jingle of bells on costumes as feathers and singing fill the air. You see people on stilts, parade floats, dancers in formation, and a 10-person manned puppet swirl by. People are adorned in intricate masks and some in even more intricate costumes. This is Carnival. Carnival traditions have long been a vibrant expression of resilience, joy, and cultural identity. Rooted in the histories of African diasporic communities, these celebrations emerged as acts of defiance against colonial oppression and enslavement. Over time, they have evolved into powerful displays of creativity, unity, and resistance, preserving ancestral traditions while adapting to contemporary struggles. From the pulsating rhythms of the drum to the intricate symbolism woven into costumes and dance, Carnival is more than just a festival. It's a living legacy. Whether in the Caribbean, South America, or the United States, these celebrations continue to serve as spaces of empowerment, storytelling, and communal pride. From the streets of New Orleans, to Rio, Brazil, and down to the Caribbean in Trinidad and Tobago. As we've seen, carnival traditions pop up around the world. The West Indies is the most well-known for the region's carnival, particularly one country, Trinidad and Tobago. It's a melting pot with global traditions located above South America. It's the southernmost island country in the Caribbean. To help us explore the cultural and historical significance of carnival, we're honored to welcome Dr. Samantha Noel, Associate Professor of Art History at Wayne State University. Dr. Noel's research focuses on the visual and performance cultures of the African diaspora, with a particular emphasis on the Caribbean as a Trinidadian herself. She is the author of Tropical Aesthetics of Black Modernism, a groundbreaking work that examines how Black artists and performers have used aesthetics to assert identity and agency. And through her scholarship, Dr. Noel sheds light on how carnival serves as both an artistic and political force, shaping Black diasporic identity across time and space. And you may hear my Trini accent come out as we talk a bit more about our beloved home country. Dr. Noel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kennedy.
Dr. Noel, let's start at the beginning, the birth of carnival traditions. These celebrations are deeply rooted in our history. Can you walk us through how and where these traditions emerged from, and particularly in relation to colonialism and enslavement?
The term carnival, etymologically, it does derive from the Italian word carnevale, and it speaks to this notion of the celebrations of the flesh, satisfying one's carnal desires, physical abandonment, And it became associated with festival traditions starting, during the medieval era in Western Europe, and over time incorporated into the Roman Catholic religious calendar. When we think of that religious calendar, it is situated and takes place right before the Lenten season. So while Carnival was a celebration of the flesh, Lent, of course, beginning on Ash Wednesday, is the celebration of the spirit. So you let out and satisfy all of your carnal desires before you focus on the spirit. But it also entailed kind of like role reversals, like during festivities on the streets, right? The rich became poor, the poor became rich. And it was introduced to the various parts of the Americas once, the Europeans colonized the Americas as well as the Caribbean. And it came into being and emerged during the era of slavery. When you think of the carnival in the Caribbean, you have to consider the social strata and the realities of a slave-based society. And so while there was a focus on class and kind of like challenging of these class hierarchies in Europe, in the Caribbean, during the era of slavery, it's very much reflected challenging this kind of like racial hierarchy that was the realities during this very horrible, this very truly traumatic and oppressive system of slavery. And there is a very famous Martinican philosopher, Edouard Glissant, who, in one of his many writings, stated that for him, Carnival, along with marinage, they were the most important institutions of resistance in the Caribbean. Because while there was the institution of slavery, the institution of colonization, Carnival was kind of like counter-institution to that, an institution of resistance that provided a means for the enslaved to express their displeasure, to express their frustrations with the predicaments that they were in. And while they couldn't, in very plain terms, express their displeasure, they were able to use their costuming, use their dancing, and other cultural forms that they were able to continue practicing in these slave societies in satirical ways, finding very creative ways to parody their enslavers, their oppressors. And it continues well after slavery, right? And so it's also important to remember too that Carnival in the Caribbean was very distinct from what existed in Europe. Because in the Caribbean, of course, we have what many scholars refer to as these Creole cultural forms that emerge out of the process of Creolization. So while during the era of slavery, there were predominantly people of European and African descent, Creole culture emerges that blends both European and African festival traditions.
Trinidad is my land, and of it I am proud and glad. But I can't understand why some people just talk it bad. But I know all of them, we're running them out. Don't know where they're talking about. They will paint you black every day. And the right things they will never say. Like our sportsmen being rated among the best. Our scholars have sit and passed every day.
Essentially, the European colonizers brought with them their tradition of carnival, but kept it a separate event from the enslaved, indigenous, and marginalized groups of the land. In response to their celebrations, the indigenous and the enslaved started their own carnival right in front of them. There's evidence that the native people would perform dances mocking the European colonizers. To summarize historian J.D. Elder, only the Africans are able to understand the message because the very medium is the message. This is the beginning of Caribbean Carnival, two groups of people determined to maintain their cultural traditions while resisting their forced state of being, creating a new culture altogether.
Hola!
Now, it's no secret that we are in the Midwest. While Carnival in the Southern Hemisphere kicked off in the streets, here in Champaign and Urbana, the event was celebrated inside the Krannert Performing Arts Center. Every year, the theme for the local Carnival is different. This year's was focused on Brazil and Cuba. Trading out the parade for a stage, the University of Illinois' Lyric Theater highlighted these countries through traditional dance, costumes, and music. I sat down with performers Hector Camacho Salazar, Megan Ferrari, and Alex Tesca, singers and dancers before the event, to learn more about their process and the carnival traditions that they brought to the stage.
So Hector, you've been in this production for 4 years. Can you tell us why honoring these roots are so crucial in today's world?
I have a very simple answer for that, because it's fun. It's honestly just fun. I mean, usually you don't get to see much salsa being performed in the middle of the Midwest in Central Illinois. It's only because of that, people respond very effusively to seeing new things. And some of them are also very open to learning more. I remember this time when we did La Vida es un Carnaval by Celia Cruz. It's a very, very well-known song in Latin America. People love that so much that it's become a staple of the show. It's actually has been the opening to that show. So I think it's the importance of those genres and of those cultures lies in the fact that they enrich our environment so much. And whether we accept it or not, they're part of our multicultural society nowadays. And they also merge so many things from different traditions. It's not like they are completely foreign to what we're used to. There's lots of themes. So it's all part of the same continuum. And I think it's very important for us to get that out there and also have people respond positively to it, because they're having a party and maybe they can start to develop a new appreciation for those things.
Megan, Carnival's music pulses through the soul of its history. I'm curious to ask you, can you share the story behind any of these musical traditions that you guys are singing when you're on stage?
I believe there's a rich history in dance. Mm-hmm. One of the songs that I'm singing in Carnaval is Guantanamera. Mm-hmm. And the song is really about talking about Guajira and like the types of dances in Cuba. And I think that's very rooted in the culture, dance and music. So we're getting to celebrate these different cultures through the dancing and through singing these songs that, you know, have been sung for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
When it comes to authenticity, some of the dance styles are a heightened, like a very stylized version of what you would find, like, for example, street dancing. Many times, Alex has reminded me to not apply my knowledge of street dancing and just go like, please keep it a little, you can add the street later, but let's just focus on getting the steps right first.
Well, that was only when we were working on forms in unison.
Exactly, because otherwise it will stand out. And yes, of course, we have people coming from very different backgrounds here, and some of them will already be familiar with the style because they have grown up with it or they have been partying with it. And some people are just learning it for the first time. So what we have ended up is doing a nice, a happy compromise, a happy medium between what would be a stylized form of this, but also paying respectful homage to these styles. And what pertains to the music, we have been engaging in language coachings. I'm also doubling as the Spanish diction coach.
Yeah, it's been really great having the language coaches for me, specifically learning Portuguese, because I've never sung in Portuguese before. So it's been really great having Andre, who speaks it natively. And my goal has been to be as authentic as possible in the style that they're sung, because there's a lot of different ways you can sing and a lot of different styles and approaches for different genres.
Carnival is fun. It's an exciting time for people to express themselves. Yet Dr. Noel encourages us to remember that Carnival was created in a brutally colonized world, using fun and theatrics as a form of resistance to everyday realities of racism, colorism, and classism. A direct way people did this then and now is through characters. Using parody and satire, characters are created to comment on social issues. You can see them in the streets, on floats, and throughout carnival celebrations.
Everything is political, even carnival, right? And so while there are these characters that we recognize and embrace today as traditional carnival characters and that are celebrated because it very much is a connection to the history, right, of the festival tradition, there are traditional carnival characters that have been effectively erased from collective memory because they were not seen as respectable and acceptable, because these carnival characters epitomize this notion of insurrection and resistance and dissatisfaction with the colonial order. For example, there was one called Pissenlit, carnival character that was performed by women of the working class, of the underclass. Part of the costume included like this sort of like red stained underwear that they would wear in a very sort of like, you know, revealing way. It really had to do with the ways in which women of African descent, their bodies and their sexuality was constantly policed by the judicial system and policing of Black female bodies. And this was their way of expressing their frustration with that. And so that was a traditional carnival character that is no longer accepted and celebrated, right? Because of laws, it was abolished. People were not allowed to celebrate and to masquerade in that. So the ones that we know as traditional carnival characters today are very much seen as, you know, permissible, acceptable, non-threatening, right? But nonetheless, they are vitally important. When you think of Jab Jab or Blue Devil, we see examples of, you know, a kind of carnival character that has both European and African roots.
You know, the sequins and the feathers and the beautiful, dazzling costumes. People now who don't even know the history of carnival, that's what they think carnival is today.
Yeah, there was something interesting that happened when we think of the evolution of costuming and even the various the sources of inspiration for these costumed bands, right? Because with the institutionalization of carnival by the colonial authorities came sort of like mandates in terms of the type of costumes that they wanted to see. And so designers of carnival bands during the colonial era, starting in the early 20th century, were encouraged to look to Europe. And even ancient Greece, ancient Rome. And so a lot of the costumes were very European in orientation. But by the 1940s and 50s, particularly during at the dawn of the anti-colonialism movement, when there were efforts for Trinidad to gain independence from colonialism, to become a sovereign nation, there definitely was this effort to look away from Europe, since there was this desire for us to one day become an independent sovereign nation. And so there were prolific costume designers like George Bailey and Stephen Leung who would look to Africa or the Middle East or the Far East for inspiration for costumes. So that marked a new time period, an exciting moment, right, in carnival. And so once independence comes in 1962, there's a continuation of that. And that particular moment too, there were still more men masquerading on the streets than women, but the costuming still covered the majority of the body. But in the 1970s, there's an interesting shift that happens. You know, the history of exploring gender in the Caribbean. There's an interesting shift, of course, that certainly mirrors what's happening in other parts of the world. When we think of the women's liberation movement in the US, for example, but women have more money. They are becoming a bit more economically independent and have a greater desire to masquerade. There's a gender shift with more women masquerading. And then by the 1980s and 90s, the change in the costume aesthetic emerges, and there are more bikini-based costuming with sequins and feather plumes.
costumes, dance, and song, Carnival's festive atmosphere is contagious. The performers at the Lyric Theater told me that while participating in the event is exciting, it's also hard work that builds community.
I'm gonna go back to one of the answers that Hector gave to a different question. It's really fun. And I think fun is what brings a lot of people together. People take the time off of their busy schedule of daily life that is not always sunshine and rainbows, and they come to see performance like this. And I think it's a true human experience. It's not specific to a culture. And I think, you know, positivity, fun, music, dance, it's something that we as humans are accustomed to, and I think everybody responds to it in that way.
I hope they feel the joy, and I hope they feel happy, and I hope they feel like they want to get up and just dance with us. I think that's kind of the whole point of Carnaval, is a celebration of these different cultures, but in a joyful way. It invokes joy, it invokes happiness, and we really want them to feel like they're celebrating with us.
One of the things that academia suffers from is from overly intellectualizing things. And usually you lose sight of the practical aspect of what we do when all is research and everything is writing papers. And even when with written music, sometimes these things are learned by rote at times. And sometimes with the steps, you just learn them. And the only way to do them is by doing them. It injects so much enjoyment into what we do. It takes us out of our comfort zone. Speaking from the perspective of a classical singer, it's a way that humanizes us. And I think that's something that needs to be done in academia. Bring the fun back to the things we do.
Bring the fun back to learning.
Yeah, it's so much fun. So why not do it? Like, two carnivals a year.
Why not? To anyone who feels like answering, has this experience given you a new perspective or a more profound connection to the culture and traditions of Carnival?
Yes. I grew up listening to a lot of Celia Cruz. And now, like, singing her songs, I feel so much more connected. Growing up, I didn't learn Spanish. Spanish wasn't spoken in my household, and I kind of had to learn on my own, though both my parents are bilingual. And it feels so nice to have a way to feel more connected to my roots because, you know, it is a part of me.
What we get to do as performers, dancers, singers, everything on stage, musicians, the orchestra, it's a privilege what we get to do. Everyone is necessary in this world, but I couldn't picture myself to having a desk job. Like, it's something that every single day I'm thankful that I get to do this. And when rehearsals get hard, and they do get hard because it's late at night, you have been going through lots of steps that you need to memorize, and you also need to have your music and all of that. It's good to remind yourself that being able to immortalize these things and to keep them relevant and putting our own spin to them. Same as with Celia Cruz when we did La Vida es un Carnaval for the first time. I was just reminded when you said that because this is a privilege to me. I get to do a dance thing to La Vida es un Carnaval.
It's such an important song.
yeah, which is one of my favorite songs. And it's just so much fun. You hear it all the time. I heard it all the time when I was a child. I look back to that and to all the times that I have done this and to this particular iteration of Carnival. It's really a privilege. You don't get to spend that much time doing such a beautiful thing as what we get to do.
We'll be right back.
The centuries-old tradition of carnival has transcended borders, colonialism, and time. As some traditions get traded out for trends, there is a fear this cultural touchstone might become too commercialized. Dr. Noel told me that in countries that used carnival as a form of resistance and social commentary, like Trinidad, the festival for the last few years is headed in a capitalist direction, and even locals in the country can't afford to participate in carnival. No matter which way carnival goes on, Dr. Noel hopes it's with honor and remembrance.
Ultimately, yeah, I think it's just important for us to remember how carnival came into being and why. And I think for us in the Caribbean, and if, you know, for any part of the Americas where carnival emerged, you know, and other festival traditions too, because there are festival traditions like Jean Canoe, which starts in Boxing Day the day after carnival in the Northern Caribbean, but Jean Canoe also existed in the southeastern part of the U.S. Of course, there's Mardi Gras in New Orleans. But when we think about what carnival meant for our ancestors and what it did for them, how it provided a means of expression, a means to recognize their power, affirmation, if nothing at all, we remember that. We remember that history, this rich cultural heritage that we have inherited from our ancestors. And that should continue to sustain us and to enrich and provide new ways to express ourselves, new ways for us to utilize carnival. More than anything, we have to remember what it meant for our ancestors and how they utilized it and gain inspiration from that. Because, you know, carnival will continue to exist. It will continue to flourish, but it has to mean something and it has to be of significance. And it cannot only be valued and recognized for its capitalist gains, its corporate gains.
Dr. Samantha Noel, you're incredible. Thank you so much, my fellow Trini, for joining us today.
It was so wonderful having this conversation with you, Kennedy. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Ghetto Bego, the land of my birth, which foreigners don't know. I passed through depression and starvation to be where I am in my profession. So Tobago, I am thankful to you. I will never be ungrateful. I say thanks, thanks, thanks.
Whether you've never heard of carnival before or you're looking forward to marching down the road, knowing the origin of global festivals and how they root back to home is vital for cultural preservation to sustain itself. If you've been to a carnival in the United States, Canada, London, or on a stage, the Dialogue team wishes you a safe time in your festivities and remembering that carnival was once too a form of resistance against oppression. If you loved the songs in this episode, we've linked them for you on illinoisoul.org/dialogue. And later, hear more about the African American Heritage Tour and what the youth learned when they visited. For Dialogue, I'm Kennedy Vincent.
To know that the mother of Tobago is Trinidad. I thank Trinidad for my education, making me Tobago most recognized woman. I say thanks. I thank Trinidad for my protection since 1970 revolution. So you see.